Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, January 9th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Bill's story on page 12, reading the third full paragraph, or starting with the third full paragraph, beginning with, "That statement hit me hard." We're going to read two paragraphs, ending with, "Would I have it? Of course I would." And we're going to read and comment on both those paragraphs this morning. Today's readers are Diane M.C., who will be reading the 12 steps, Diane B., reading the 12 traditions, Kathy M. is going to be reading the text, Vanessa G. will be reading page 164, and Janice P.M. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference number, the reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, January 8th, 2025, for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,100 or 23100. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,102 or 23102. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Diane M.C. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Vision family. This is Diane M.C. in Chicagoland, a grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wronged, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane M.C. Now, and I'll ask Diane B. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane B. in New York, gratefully recovered today. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversies. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass. Thank you for this opportunity to service.
Well, thank you so much, Diane B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, you're going to press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in Bill's story. We're on page 12, beginning with the third paragraph. That statement hit me hard, through two paragraphs, ending with, would I have it? Of course I would. And we're going to read and comment on both those paragraphs this very morning. And we will now ask Kathy M. to please begin reading. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy M., recovered overeater in Michigan, and I appreciate the opportunity to give service. That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. This is an awesome section of the chapter. Step 2, being willing to believe in a power greater than oneself. This exactly was my situation. I was so similar to Bill. I lived in a state of thinking I knew it all, and I knew there wasn't a higher power, and I wasn't about to believe in anything. And anybody who tried to tell me otherwise or was a believer, I dismissed. I just wasn't interested. And I lived without a higher power for so long, and I judged everybody who believed in one. So, but that suggestion to choose my own higher power, what an amazing eye-opening concept for me. Because I knew there was something higher than myself. Obviously, I'm not the highest power. But I didn't have permission for myself to believe in what I knew was a higher power and to use it or to pray to it in the traditional manner. So I just thought that there just wasn't one out there for me that fit in with this program. So when I came to OA at age 22, I ran from it because we didn't read this chapter at that first meeting I went to. Nobody said you get to pick your own higher power. And so I heard God and I was like, well, I can't do this. It's not for me. I basically felt like it wasn't the right program for me because I don't believe in God. Therefore, I can't be in it. And I think that over time, over the years that followed that, 30 plus years before I came back to OA, I still was agnostic. And I honestly, to many people, I probably still am. And I'm fine with it because I have recognized my own higher power now. And it's amazing that I realized when I read this part, choose my own conception, that it's okay for me to believe in something different than what other people believe in, as long as I know that there's something out there bigger than myself. And that allowed me to let the program in and to let my higher power act on me to help me recover. And I truly believe that I'm part of this universe and that my higher power is using whatever forces of the universe to act on me to bring me back to a sane and reasonable situation with food. And it's just, this was a phenomenal thought process that came from Ebby and from Bill as Bill's writing this book, that he was willing to put this down on paper because it's quite a, back then in the 1930s, this was probably quite a, out there thought. It was probably blasphemy to a lot of people. And okay, thank you so much. I'm just amazed and pleased that I was finally exposed to it, and I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kathy Ann, for getting us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any of the Vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up. If you would like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Elena C.
Elena C. And Elena, where are you calling from? Elena C.
Elena C. from South Carolina.
South Carolina. Got ya.
Sherry W. from San Diego.
That was Sherry W. from San Diego.
Carrie W.
Got ya.
Jennifer H. from Pennsylvania.
Got you, Jennifer H.
Danielle T. Colorado.
Got you, Danielle T. from Colorado.
Janice K.
And where are you calling from, Janice?
Oregon.
From Oregon. Got ya.
Jody E. California.
Got you, Jody. Thank you. Do we have anyone else who'd like to get in on this first round? Okay. Boy, you
Mary
guys are
Frances.
Easy on me this morning.
Yeah,
Mary
Frances W. from Pennsylvania.
Was that Mary Frances?
Yes.
Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, from Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
Okay. So let me tell you who I've got. I've got Elena C., Carrie W., Jennifer H., Danielle T., Janice K., Jody E., and Mary Frances W. We'll go ahead and start with Elena C., followed by Carrie W. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service and everybody else who provided service today. I love this two paragraphs. It's taking step two. So Bill is taking step two, and he could take only could take a step two when Abby gave him the freedom of using his own conception of God. And I just love what he says that when he became willing, he stood in the sunlight at last, and all the intellectual explanation or just desire to to understand what this power is has melted. Because I don't have to do that. All I have to do is, and then just this complete willingness, you know, like I have a certain situation in my life that are hard. And when I have to do a 10 step every day and, about some fears that are kind of coming up to fears. And, you know, I don't, and because there's been hard, it's just, I don't have trust. I don't have faith. But my higher power wants me to be willing to have faith, be willing to have hope, be willing to trust. I really am willing. And he says that nothing more was required to make my beginning. This is from this point on of being willingness, I can just proceed with my day and kind of surrender and be willing to surrender. To surrender that there's nothing I can do, but then leaving out to my higher power to pull me out from this darkness that it is in my thoughts. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much, Elena C. Next, we've got Carrie W., followed by Jennifer H. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. This is Carrie W. in San Diego. And thank you so much, moderator, and thank you for everybody that's bringing this meeting to us. This is my favorite part of the book too. I think this is why I do this program. You know, I get to choose my own conception, and I just have to be willing. You know, I just have to be willing to be willing. And that's what I needed when I got here, because I had decided that I didn't like religion. You know, I was one of those people in the book that was just looking at all the bad things that had happened and did not give religion a chance. So I think I would have run out the door if someone had told me, you know, I had to believe in a certain God. So it was so embracing and all-inclusive to be set, you know, to be told you can have your own concept, you know, whatever it is, you know, you just have to be willing to believe in something. And that's such a beautiful part of the program. And it really embraced me so that I could have the miracle. You know, I tried so many different ways of dieting and doing this program and doing that program. And then I come in here and I just am willing to believe in something and my food obsession goes away. You know, I mean, that's a miracle. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what is, because it's the love and fellowship and a higher power that I don't have to define. You know, I don't have to know what it is. I kind of feel like my higher power is so huge. It's undefinable in human terms. And I just have to work this program. And it's a beautiful thing to have that huge higher power that'll help me through anything, because life gets hard sometimes and I get into fear, you know, and I need to connect with that higher power to walk through life. And then I don't have to be afraid all the time and want to eat, you know, because I'm afraid. Because I think I ate, you know, a lot of times because I had anxiety and fear and depression and stuff like that. So my higher power, I wrap my higher power around me, and I walk through things that are difficult. And it's a beautiful part of this program. I like being in the sunlight now. I like being in the sunlight of the spirit. I don't want to be in the darkness anymore. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carrie W. from San Diego. Next, we've got Jennifer H., followed by Danielle T. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Jennifer H. from Pennsylvania. I've been waiting for an opportunity to share in this part that stands out for me. I'm so grateful for my Ebby, the Ebby that I had a three-minute conversation with in a grocery store. And she was so excited about this program, and having come from another program and understanding the literature that OA used, it was like I knew that growth would happen. I knew that I could build a bigger foundation, and I was willing. You know, I had seen it happen before from going to open meetings in another program, and if those individuals could get neutrality through using the big book, I could certainly have that too, and I knew it would work. I just knew it would. I just had to make the phone call and take the action because I was on the verge of so much fear that I was going to die because I couldn't stop eating and I couldn't stop it. It had control of me. And I knew I might build what I saw in my friend and in others. And of course I would have it. Of course. I was on the phone within a week, less than a week, onto Vision, and I haven't left, and I've been abstinent and neutral around food for like 4.5 years, I think it is now, and haven't looked back, you know, and been given so many more tools and such a bigger higher power to be able to do life. You know, food is but a symptom, and to set that aside and do life is a beautiful thing, albeit not always comfortable. However, I'm very grateful, and of course I will have this every day I choose to have this. And, you know, welcome to anyone who's new and glad you're here. And thank you so much for being here, everybody. Bye now. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. in Pennsylvania. Next, we've got Danielle T., followed by Janice K. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Stephanie. My name is Danielle T. I'm in Colorado, recovered. So grateful to be on this meeting and able to share. I tried to share yesterday, but I ran out of time. Hello, all my fellows. I can't even express how much I have loved the shares this week. They've been off the charts, just incredible. Anyway, this statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. Gosh, there were two times when I felt my higher power's presence in my life, and both similarly involved sunlight. One was when I was in the ocean. I was young. I was probably 12, 13. I don't remember. I was on vacation with my family, feeling extremely sad for whatever reason. Could have been the food or my weight. It could have been how I always felt overlooked or misunderstood by my family. Who knows? All I remember is that I was crying out to my higher power in deep pain, standing there in the ocean. In Florida, I think we were. After the tears fell or stopped, took a while, I stood there and felt this overwhelming warmth. It came from the sun. It felt completely different than anything I had ever felt. This was not the normal sunlight, sunshine that one feels. This was really a profound moment. And that's what I think of every time Bill says, I stood in the sunlight at last. The second time was when I was at a funeral. I sat in that church. I was in my 30s. It was after I had come into program. I had never, it was just, I felt this incredibly warm ray of sunshine brush my shoulder, and it lingered for a long time. And I kept looking back over my shoulder as if someone or something was there. Those are two very big moments that stood out to me. Now, I always had a faith growing up. We had a faith growing up as children. There was this general feeling that God was loving, forgiving, and understanding. But I still did what I wanted to do, whether it was right or wrong. I listened to some parts but discarded the rest. I also felt I needed to work my way to God. If I was being good, quote unquote, he was happy with me. And if I was being bad, I immediately fell out of God's good graces. So I am making a huge effort to change that conception and just embrace how much God loves me and wants the best for me by leading me to this program. By hearing so many of the shares and how so many of you have been transformed, I have made it my biggest goal to spend time
with time.
Okay, thank you. And just developing this personal relationship with him. And I cannot wait to see how things change in my life as I do this. Thanks, and I pass. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much, Danielle T. from Colorado. Next, you've got Janice K., followed by Jody E. Good morning, Janice.
Hello, this is Janice Kay in Oregon. The words that strike me are the icy intellectual mountain and complete willingness. I remember the icy intellectual mountain. It did certain things for me. It let me distance myself from emotion. When the ice melted, I had to face emotions and I had to figure out, how am I going to survive fear, anger, abstinently? Those are very powerful things. And the icy intellectual mountain was useful for a long time. The icy intellectual mountain enabled and encouraged self-reliance. It still plagues me, that self-reliance. I figure life is kind of like walking through a storm. And if I'm under God's umbrella, I'm dry, I'm warm, I'm safe. But when I get farther out from my higher power and away from his will, that icy intellectual mountain is waiting. And it has cold, hard shale slopes. If you've ever walked on shale, it crumbles under your feet and you slide. It also encouraged belief and reliance on logic and reason. Oh my goodness. I used to play slice and dice with logic and reason with people who opposed me. That doesn't make sense. And I would tell them exactly why. Because of course I was right. And I'm saying that knowing full well that that reliance made me very wrong. All of these things subsidize the existence of my disease. Then we get to the topic of complete willingness. Complete willingness is like complete surrender. It's great when I can do it. A lot of times I find that complete keeps growing. Something that wasn't included in that definition a year, a month, a week, a day ago, suddenly changes. And the little intuitive thought crosses my mind. Well, are you completely willing? And in my better days, I say, no, I'm not. Can you help me with this? And there are some days I just hear the thought, perceive the thought, think the thought, and I say back, oh, hush, well, leave me alone for a while. And then I have to come back later and pick it up and do it. I think this is what we call the work of the program, cooperating in the psychic change, which happens. Being willing to do it. Okay. So, thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. And before we go to Jody E., let me remind you where we're at. We are in Bill's story. We're on page 12, beginning with the third full paragraph that starts with, "That statement hit me hard." We read two paragraphs, ending with, "Would I have it? Of course I would." And we are commenting on both those paragraphs this morning. So we'll now go to Jody E., followed by Mary Frances W. Good morning, Jody.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm very gratefully recovered in California. Thanks, everyone, for your service. Welcome to the newcomers. So what are we who are sharing doing? We're sharing our personal stories of awakening, spiritual awakening. And those we've been hearing from, it's obvious that they have had a spiritual awakening of some kind. And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to share my own personal story of spiritual awakening, which happened for me at my very first OA meeting. I was not an atheist, but I had this experience when I first heard the 12 steps that suggesting that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity around food. Now, I believed in God, not because I had done any great intellectual studying or thinking even, simply because I had been raised in a religion and I never questioned it. But I had never considered that God could help me with the biggest problem in my life, the most intimate problem, which was food, and that had been there with me my whole life, and that I did not know how to solve. And when that was suggested, well, God can do it. God can help you with that. It was like, well, duh, of course. God is all-powerful. But it had never occurred to me to go to God with this problem. Maybe I didn't even think about it. Just simply didn't occur to me. So if this is all I needed was to believe in God, then sure, I'm there. And I felt like I did stand in the sunlight at last. But that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to believe or to understand that God could help me with my food. Much more would be required of me. But this was my beginning. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself, and that that power could help me with my food. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. And so I made my beginning at that very first OA meeting nearly 40 years ago. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. And next we've got Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Good morning, Mary Frances W.
Good morning, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. And in recovery, I think 55 days abstinent today. And I am just feeling so incredibly grateful and blessed to be on this meeting every day. I couldn't listen live yesterday. I was sitting in a dermatologist chair waiting for the doctor to come in. And while I was in there waiting, I had my eyes closed and I just, you know, kept repeating God's name. And I was there to have something frozen off my face, and I'd never had that done before. So I was a little anxious. And into my head came the words, I release myself to you. And when I said that, this feeling came over my entire body that I had not experienced in a very long time. And, you know, I've been struggling with wondering whether or not I'm surrendering. And I know surrender and release are pretty much the same thing, but there was something about the word releasing myself to you that this feeling came over me, and I almost started to cry. And today I feel in tears reading this, because this was the big opening for me when I finally had someone say to me, choose your own concept of God. I couldn't believe it. It was like I was given permission, because I thought if I did something like that, I was surely going to go to hell. But it opened a door, and now I believe in God that loves me unconditionally and helps me to laugh at myself when I get myself all worked up about looking foolish or something like that. And I just feel, today I'm just feeling embraced by him, and I feel embraced by all of you. You're so giving, and the service is incredible, and the shares are unbelievable, and God brought me back here, and I'm so glad that he did. I really need this. I thought many times in my life that I was completely abstinent, and I wasn't. And today I am. I'm grateful to God for that. And the willingness, you know, to let go of those things that I did not think were alcoholic foods, but they really were. And I don't know. I just thank you so much for your service. And to everyone on the line and to all the newcomers, I hope you'll introduce yourself later. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. And perfect timing, by the way. All right, we have time. We have time for some more shares. If you'd like to share, let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Rod
G.
I heard Rod G.
Alexis F.
There was someone before Roz.
Mark L.
I hear Tom L. I got you.
Margaret,
but there was someone before Roz that I... Was it Margaret? I think it was Margaret O. Got you, Margaret. And where are you calling from?
Connecticut, but I'm in California.
Okay, from Connecticut. I think that'll probably take us to the end.
Alexis.
I've got you, Alexis. And where are you calling
from?
Okay.
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. I think we'll see if we get to everyone. But I've got Margaret O, Roz G, Alexis F, and Tom L. We'll go ahead and start with Margaret O, followed by Roz G. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. This is Margaret O. I live in Connecticut, thankfully in California. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service and everybody doing service. And welcome to the newcomers. Love this part of the big book, too. And, you know, as everybody was sharing, I hope I don't start crying. You know, the thing that really grabbed me with the OA was when I went into my first meeting in 1998. And I don't even remember how I stumbled upon OA. I think I saw it in print somewhere, and I just called and someone answered the phone. Her name was Pat, and she said, I said, oh gosh, you know, I overeat and I make myself sick, and I was terribly bulimic for like 2 decades. And she said, oh, you need to get connected up. Like, just those words, connected up. And I remember going to the first meeting and sitting in a room with people and I didn't know. And people were talking openly and honestly about how they felt. And, you know, honestly, up to that point, I was, I think I was 41 at the time. I had muddled through life, just pushing down feelings and feeling overwhelmed and using food to calm my anxiety and thinking that was the only way that I could cope with life. And that this is just how it was. And I didn't even know I had a food allergy to sugar. And, you know, here I was ingesting all this sugar and then having the compulsion to eat more and more and not understanding why and what was wrong with me. And all this self-loathing had built up. And, you know, that I couldn't control my overeating. And you know what? When I walked into that room, I mean, I sat there, I think, for the first 3 or 4 months with tears just coming down my cheeks. Because I have an emotional nature, as you can probably tell from me on this call. But anyway, I just feel like, you know, your higher power, for those who are agnostic or atheist, it can start with the group. Because the currency of these 12-step rooms is love. And God is love. And, you know, belief in your own concept is a choice, and it's an opening. And the alternative is like a cynical, hopeless outlook on things. Like, you know, this is just the way it is, and to heck with God, and he never did me any good anyway. And I mean, just having this opening, these two paragraphs are just like, I feel like the doors are thrust open. And, you know, there's this, you know, currency of love just coursing through these rooms. And it's a wonderful phenomenon.
Margaret, that's time.
And thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Next, we've got Roz G., followed by Alexis F. Good morning, Roz.
Oh, hey, hi, it's Roz G. I was kind of having a little issue unmuting, so I think it's my turn. And
it's your turn.
Thank you, good. Okay, I pressed the star thing, and he's like, please press this, you know, that deal. I'm Roz G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Walking my dogs in Palmdale, and usually I'm out a lot earlier, but I'm on the last stretch of my break, then I go back to work. But I want to say, right now, it's very icy out. In Palmdale, it's icy. It's 30-something degrees, and for Californians, that's very cold. For the other people on the east, probably nothing to them. But there's a lot of ice around here, and another fun thing is that I'm doing this show called Frozen. It's a Disney show, and, you know, this Elsa freezes up the stage, and everything's frozen. And what I see there is that, you know, in myself, I had a very icy heart. I was so angry and so bitter and so hopeless about everything in my life. And the only thing that was warm and fuzzy and cozy was food. And that was the only thing that really helped me to deal, to cope with the things that I thought weren't going right in my life. And when I started attending Big Book meetings and doing the steps according to what the Big Book tells me to do, my heart started to soften. And I have what I think is a psychic change with eating, a psychic change with food, a psychic change with life, a psychic change with people that I dislike with a D on the end. Just a psychic change. And it melted the frozen ice on my heart. And so while this world is difficult, and while there are difficult things happening around me, I can have joy in my heart. I can have the warmth of joy, knowing that the God of my understanding has it covered. And I have other scriptures to look to for hope, and the Big Book. And that, what do I have to do? I have to practice it. I have to take action every day. Because if not, you know, that ice will start to build. You know, I've got a freezer in my garage that sometimes the ice builds on the sides of the door, and it won't close all the way. And it lets, it just lets air in. And today I don't want to live in an icy, frozen heart and mind. I want to be warm, open, kind, loving, and have live in a psychic change. So I'm going to go ahead and pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. Next, we've got
11.
We'll see if we get to you, Tom. Alexis, you're up. Alexis, if you could hit star one to unmute.
Alexis F. from New Jersey, East Coast time. I'm finally getting some emotional sobriety. I had the abstinence for a long time, but I never really had emotional sobriety, and I've been in the program many, many years. And it came about after I had an argument with my daughter, and a friend of mine brought in a picture of God of Mercy. And not that the picture itself, you know, like the canvas or whatever it's on, or wood, I don't know, made me, you know, the picture itself, the image, made me different, but the theory behind it, the God that is so merciful, has changed my life entirely. And I find myself like stopping and pausing and thinking and asking God for help every time I go to speak, you know, to say something to my family, and thinking like, she won't like that, or that'll cause an argument if I say that, or, you know, like just not analyzing myself, but awareness of myself. I have more awareness of myself. And it's not because I think I'm good, it's because I want to be good. And perfection is overrated. It's one of the least desirable character defects that I used to have, and I expected it of myself and of everybody else. And just the willingness to believe and work the program. And I used to eat for balance and nutrition, but now I eat for health and to satisfy my body's needs. If I'm getting a cold, I eat oranges for vitamin C. If I'm getting a problems with my heart, I eat bananas for potassium. If I need iron, you know, in my blood count is low, I'll take liver. You know, things like that. Just to balance my body and to be in tune with it. I exercise an hour a day. And
time.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Alexis F. And that brings us to the end. So thank you, everyone. And we will now close with the reading. Oh, and sorry, Tom L., we didn't get to you. Come back on Monday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Vanessa G., can you please read A Vision for You?
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This is our vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet, some of us as you trudge, the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.